Extra time.
Hello, Football Daily, and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. Sorry you weren't here last week, but we're back with a bumper episode this time around. And I'm joined by Joe Tomlinson and Doogie Critchley. A very happy Joe Tomlinson, I think. He's been buzzing on the Football Daily WhatsApp chat. Why are you such a happy man today, Joe?
Well, it appears, we're shooting this on Monday afternoon, it appears I'm still not 100% behind the truth behind it, but I'm going to say it's probably 98% certainty that Rafael Varane now is going to join Manchester United. So it's been a bloody good morning. I mean, that as a signing is extremely exciting as a Manchester United fan. In my head, it couldn't have gone much better this window so far. Now for a defensive midfielder to really complete what has been an excellent start to the summer.
Can you actually see him working next to Maguire? I feel like Maguire's too sort of straight edge for someone like Varane. I feel like Varane's got a bit of sort of panache to him. I'm not sure if they're going to.
What do you mean by that? That's such a rogue statement.
Maguire's like a meat and two veg, no nonsense. We saw him like fall out with Bruno Fernandes a few times. You know, Varane's coming in as a real kind of
What a load of nonsense. I think on paper, that it's always easy to say on paper that those two are going to work. But I think they complement each other quite well, to be honest with you. Man United have certainly lacked aerial dominance at the back alongside Maguire. Lindelof regularly getting beaten in the air, particularly at set pieces. I think that's something Varane's definitely going to add to the side. I think his ball progression numbers are certainly going to help Manchester United. No, that was actually something Lindelof was fairly good at. Balls over the top, especially when Marcus Rashford came in off that left-hand side. So on paper, they complement each other. It's always a different thing in the real world. But I don't think, just based on the market, I don't think there was anywhere near as good an option as Rafa Varane for £38 million this summer.
You know what? I do agree with you. But, you know, handbags, I reckon there could be some handbags. Doogie, on the other end of the spectrum, I had a look at some of Sunderland's transfers this summer. I see Alex Pritchard in for a free. Corey Evans in from Blackburn. How are you feeling about these two?
Well, Johnny Evans, Corey's brother, had a great spell on loan at Sunderland in the late part of the first decade of this century. So, yeah, if he replicates anything like that. But I see Corey Evans has played about 10 games over the last 2 years because he's so injury-ridden. So not too pumped about that. And our manager said last week that he's having sleepless nights because we haven't been able to bring anyone in. So from Varane to, yeah, the troubles of Sunderland, it's not been great. But I'm putting your reaction down to, Henry. A lot of Premier League fans, or, you know, fans of teams that have been around there like Fulham, get quite jealous when other teams make big signings. You sometimes feel a bit of sniping in the WhatsApp groups, etc. I think we've just got to accept Man United have had, for once, a very good summer window.
You're still spinning, Henry, that Wacky Manderson's gone to Palace, mate. I'm fully aware of that. And do you know what? I think fair play, because that's also an unreal signing. How good's Palace's window been so far?
Out of nowhere.
It's outrageous. Yeah, hopefully Patrick Vieira can get it to work.
There are tiers to it, aren't there? You know, United bringing in Sancho and potentially Varane. Fulham bringing in Harry Wilson and Gazzaniga in goal. And then, you know, Pritchard and Evan at Sunderland. But you know what? It's all setting up for a very exciting season. I'll tell you what else is very exciting, and that is our sponsor today. We're delighted to have FanTeam back supporting the channel. If you weren't following us during the Euro, we're all taking part in their kind of fantasy tournaments, and you can take part in their next competition, which is coming up next summer, or for the next season, in fact. And it is absolutely bumper. FanTeam and the Scouting Gaming Group are delighted to announce the opening of their £1 million Premier League 2021-22 season-long game. That is a serious amount of cash up for grabs. And just to give you some context, the winner of last year's edition took home €200,000. So that's kind of nuts.
Good God. You can see
his interview on the website. That is massive for a fantasy football tournament. I'm getting annoyed when I'm losing £5 in like the Football Daily one that we have going on. You know, this is serious money up for grabs. If you don't know how this works, it's a bit like other fantasy platforms in that you get given a £100 million starting budget to build your initial squad of 15 players, consisting of 2 goalkeepers, 5 defenders, 5 midfielders, and 3 forwards. Similar to others, you can select a maximum of 3 players from one Premier League team, and you can make unlimited changes if you get going now, if you decide to join the platform now, until game week one, which starts on Friday the 13th of August, a date all of us have got in the diaries, but we cannot wait for that. And then even if you miss the registration for them, you can play, you can sign up until game week four, at which point you get given 95% of the average overall score of all entries, so you won't be left behind. You still have an opportunity to win. So like we said, similar aspects to other platforms in that captain, vice captain, you get like wild cards in, but it really does come with a difference, this fan team. They've made such a big effort to ensure that like the way that players are valued and the players are scored. So it's not just if your team wins, you get one plus 1 point this year, it's plus 0.3 to put emphasis on like the individual performances there. And there's so many little perks and games that you can get involved in throughout the competition. And this is how you enter. If you think you're good enough, if you think you're pretty decent relative to your other mates when it comes to fantasy football, and I know there'll definitely be some out there who support the channel, it's £20 to enter. They've reduced the entrance fee to £20 for next year, but they've upped the guaranteed prize pool by a whopping 15%, which is huge. The top 10 will receive a minimum of 10 grand each, the top 100 will receive a minimum of £1,000 each, and the top 500 a minimum of 100 quid. And what's more, there's like a weekly game as well, a 25 grand prize pool for the highest single game week score. The 25 grand will be split with the top 10, with the first place winning £10,000. So even if you're having a stinker throughout the season, like I might do, let's face it, you can still walk away with a big winning week. And that's what makes Fan Team so exciting. Check out the platform if you haven't already. And if that wasn't enough, Fan Team is currently offering a refer a friend scheme where both you and your friend get a second ticket for free to enter the £1 million game. So if you can get another friend involved, then you've got double the chance to go for that massive jackpot. If you know the Premier League, come and test yourself against your mates, against some of the best. You could win 200k. That's what last year's winner walked away with. Massive numbers here with that refer a friend scheme as well. Great chance to enter into the game. We're going to include a link into the blog article about the £1 million game below, so you can read more on the competition if you want to get sort of ahead of the competition. Can't stress enough, this is the most exciting platform out there. Doogie, we played this during the Euros. We had a lot of fun. If you were going to go out there and get involved for next season, which of the new signings do you reckon to the Premier Leagues are you bringing in?
I loved playing this during the Euros. Got thrashed by Chris Hamill and Henry in the end, but it was a great time had by all. And I love the fact that you can get 25 grand split between the top 10 and a single game week as well. So I often have one incredible week during the season, a lot of very poor ones, and maybe I'd be in the hat for a prize there as well. So definitely get involved. But in terms of players to look out for, I think I'm just like the rest of us, very excited to see Jadon Sancho in Man United red on that right-hand side. I think Patson Daka as well. I don't know what price he's going to be at Leicester, but I think he's got 61 goals over the last two seasons over in Austria as well. Came in for a relatively cheap fee as well. So those would be my two ones to watch.
Yeah, all right. Joe, from like maybe like the Crystal Palace new signings, who would you be getting in? Because like you said, they've had such an exciting window and there's definitely some players. You're looking at like the Elises, who you think you'd want in your team come next season.
Yeah, I mean, I personally probably wouldn't end up going for Palace players just because I'm not entirely sure how well Patrick Vieira is going to cope coming straight into the Premier League like this. But nevertheless, there is obviously value to be had at a club like Palace. A player like Mark Guehi coming in, especially if Gary Cahill doesn't sign that new contract, he's probably going to partner Joachim Anderson. That's a pretty exciting backline. I don't think I'd go for Palace, though, with Eze injured. That lack of creativity and drive, I think, is going to be massively missed. So I'd be looking elsewhere at some bargain players.
Nice. Well, we're all going to make our team, so I'm sure throughout the next few weeks, you'll be able to follow our progress as we start in the £1 million game. Let's just remember that once more. Fan Team has grown massively since last year, and the platform has grown with it. Remember, you have to be 18 plus to play. Terms and conditions do apply. There'll be a link in the description below. 20 quid entry. Get involved. First game week is on the 13th of August. That's when the season kicks off. We cannot wait. So yeah, Fan Team, check it out in the description below. All right, we will move on to the podcast for this week. And what I wanted to talk about is this Jordan Henderson story, which caught my eye last week. And that's the news that The Athletic and The Guardian both reporting that contract talks for Hendo have broken down at Liverpool. So his deal's expected to expire in 20... Well, it's not expected to expire. It will expire in 2023. And it looks like he hasn't been able to agree an extension so far. And all the reports are saying it's not looking likely that it's going to kick off any time soon, which puts Liverpool in a funny situation. Do they sell their captain now and make some money, or do they risk running down his contract like with Gini Wijnaldum, which I don't think they'll want to do again. They will want to avoid that kind of situation from happening twice. Joe, you've seen this story too.
Yeah.
Well, just to focus on Hendo specifically, what do you think about this? Because I think this is a massive risk to lose someone like Henderson, who, like Klopp, loves so much.
Yeah. This is an interesting one, because the more I've read about this over the last sort of 7 days, the more I feel like it's a bit of a overblown situation. I don't think this is as big a deal as a lot of people are making out. There's still 2 years left to run on the contract, let's not forget, until 2023. I think he's 31 now, so by the time his contract expires, he will be 33 years of age. So unlike Wijnaldum, it's not like he was running it down this summer. So there is still a little bit of time before they have to totally panic about the Jordan Henderson situation. And I think if I was Liverpool, I would still be fairly relaxed. I think there's far more priority contracts in that squad that need to get sorted before Jordan Henderson. If you lose Jordan Henderson for free, age 33, okay, it's not ideal, but I don't think it's a disaster by any means. I would be pretty relaxed if I was the Liverpool board. I would be focusing on the likes of Alisson Becker, Virgil van Dijk, Mo Salah, probably have Trent and Robbo ahead of him in the contract talks, certainly Fabinho. Yes, I can see it's becoming an issue. He is the club captain, but I don't think it's quite as drastic as some people are making out right now.
Yeah, I mean, Diggy, some of the clubs linked with him, because the sort of sensationalist aspect of a lot of these reports claims that Liverpool might try and shift him on by the end of this summer. No chance. Well, you know, I've potential swap deal with Sal Niguez over at Atletico Madrid. Who knows what he's doing?
Nonsense.
Diggy, do you agree with that? Or do you think his future's certainly secure for at least another 12 months at Liverpool?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see that happening. What is there left of the window? I mean, there's, 19 days until the new Premier League season starts or so? There's no chance that Liverpool sell their captain in that time frame, or even before the window slams shut at the end of August. I can't really see it. I'm kind of with Joe. I think this is a bit of a storm in a teacup, to be totally honest. I mean, Liverpool, they're probably being quite sensible. I don't think you want to give a massive contract extension over 2 years. Like, if he was in his final year, maybe you'd think about it. But 2 years still left on that deal. Let's see how his form and fitness recovers next season. Liverpool are a much, much better side with Jordan Henderson in it. We saw it, you know, last year when he had to play at centre-back and then got injured. Like, their form really does suffer, and their win percentage with him in it to without him in it is massively different as well. Jordan Henderson's such a driver of that team, the sort of, you know, Klopp's sort of, you know, mouthpiece on that side as well. Still a phenomenal athlete, and I think he's going to have a fantastic rest of his Liverpool career. In terms of those clubs that want him, well, there's talks about Juventus, there's talks about Atletico Madrid, but the big one seems to be PSG, with Mauricio Pochettino a really big admirer of him. But if they're bringing in Gini Wijnaldum, obviously, which has already happened, looking to bring in Paul Pogba, I don't see where you get Jordan Henderson into that midfield if they're all going to play Verratti in there. Marquinhos is still there. They haven't managed to offload Herrera or Leandro Paredes yet either. And then Atletico Madrid, does Jordan Henderson really want to go to Atletico Madrid at 31 when he's the, you know, club captain of Liverpool, you know, England's vice captain as well? I'm not so sure. So I can't really see him going anywhere, to be totally honest.
I love the idea of him going to Atletico. Apparently he's really good friends of Luis Suarez, and they're going to try and sort of massage that aspect into it. But yeah, like you said, Joe, earlier, there are other pressing issues in this Liverpool squad, because they have got so many players whose contracts are expiring within the next 2 years. So I thought we could go through a lot of these players and sort of keep or dump, as it were, and sort of see where we'll end up at the end of it, and then see if we can bring in any other new names as well. And I mean, let we have to bear in mind, we have to try and enter the minds of FSG, who have shown with Wijnaldum, they're not going to be messed around. They're not the kind of people that are just going to hand out silly contracts left, right, and centre. The reality is, a lot of the names we're about to discuss are all big names, and they can't afford to put all these guys on new bumper contracts, because Liverpool are actually very smart with their initial recruitment, the way they built this squad. So yeah, they're not going to just hand massive deals out everywhere. Jordan Henderson was on about 140 grand a week. But if we start in the summer of 2022, next year, I think this is probably a bit of an easy place to kick off with. James Milner and Divock Origi. Any of those are you keeping, or are they both probably set to leave, Joe?
No, I think they'll both probably leave. They might offer James Milner a sort of ambassador role, maybe a sort of coaching badge qualification sort of vibe where he's on a reduced wage and is still registered as a squad player. That wouldn't totally surprise me. Divock Origi, I think, is an interesting one. This is probably the summer to cash in on Divock Origi, in my opinion. I do think Liverpool have to sell before they buy. They're not particularly cash rich at the moment. We've seen that in the transfer market already this summer. I think you're not going to see many more ins until Liverpool manage to get those players off the books, like the likes of Harry Wilson, who I think has now gone, if I'm not incorrect there. But I think Divock Origi is probably another player I would think about selling now. I would be keeping James Milner until that contract ran down, and then I'd be offering him an ambassadorial role.
Yeah. They've done well picking up little fees for players, like you've said, 12 million for Wilson, about 10 million for Grealish as well, which I'm quite surprised about, really. Also, 15% like sell-on clause in case he really impresses at
Horses. They're trying to fund a midfield move, aren't they? Surely they're going to try and sign a replacement for Genie Wijnaldum, and they haven't got much cash, so they're just trying to fund that buy, aren't they? I can't see it being anything else.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the 2023 players, like some of those you've mentioned who could be, if we go down to the bottom three, it's like Oxlade-Chamberlain, Nat Phillips and Jerdan Shaqiri. Doogie, out of those three, because Nat Phillips is getting a lot of interest. I was looking that he was really impressive for Stuttgart in the Bundesliga 2 before the season of last. And actually he impressed a lot for Liverpool last season. And it looks like he is a wanted man amongst the Premier League. Shaqiri reportedly has told the club that he wants to move away. And the Ox, I'm not quite sure really. I'll be interested to hear your opinion on that. But like, of those three, are these the kind of three players that we're looking at maybe certainly being sort of shipped off?
Yeah, I think I'd probably try and get rid of Shaqiri out of those three most of all, just because he had a really disappointing year last year. Doesn't seem anywhere closer to the sort of front of that pecking order either. They've got Harvey Elliott back on loan from his loan at Blackburn, where he played so well on that right wing slot to deputise under Mo Salah. So I don't really see where Shaqiri fits in. You could probably get a pretty sizable fee for him as well, at least £15 million, I would have thought, to a sort of Europa League level club. I'd actually probably keep Nat Phillips around just because Joel Matip is so injury prone. Virgil van Dijk's coming back from a massive injury. Ibrahima Konate's had his injury problems in the past as well. So I'd keep Nat Phillips as my sort of fifth choice centre back as well. And I thought he was really impressive, as you say, at points last season as well, particularly in that RB Leipzig clash in the, was it last 16? I think it was the last 16 before they exited against Real Madrid in the next round. As for the Ox, I don't really see the point in selling him, just because you're not going to get anywhere close to the fee you could have. And he's just been injured for 2 years, and you've kind of got to back him at 27 years old to get some sort of form back. But if they have to offload more players to bring in what that sort of star midfielder, which Joe was mentioning, and it's between Naby Keita and Ox, I'd probably get rid of Ox. So it's a sort of scenario-based thing, but I wouldn't jump at the chance of getting rid of either of them right now.
Yeah, it has to be said, man. Like, I think Jerdan Shaqiri is going to go. Like, it feels like he's going to be the next name. Ow, smack my knee on the fucking table. It feels like he's going to be the next name out of the door, to be honest with you. I saw those quotes from him talking about, who doesn't love the Italian lifestyle? And I know that Lazio and Napoli are both interested in him. And I think Liverpool have quoted a price tag of around £12 million. Obviously, was it 7 appearances last season for Liverpool? But he did himself no harm, did he, at the Euros? Like, there was, you could still see there was, without him in that Swiss side, they didn't look a patch on the team they are. So he might not be able to cut it at a top-level elite side, but I totally agree with you, dudes. I think if Lazio are bringing him in for sort of €15 million, I think it's not a terrible signing. As for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think you've definitely got to keep him if Genie Wijnaldum hasn't been replaced. You cannot afford to lose Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Genie Wijnaldum in one summer, I don't think. Your midfield looks really thin if that happens. We're talking, what, Naby Keita, Fabinho, Jordan Henderson and Thiago. Obviously, Curtis Jones is going to be the next hope in there as well. But I think the way Klopp plays at 100% output constantly running, that they're going to need more than four or five midfield options. So I think Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will definitely be kept. And Nat Phillips I would sell. I think with Konate coming in, I think you can afford to, if you need to sign players and you need to sell to buy, I think Nat Phillips is one that you could get maybe 15 million from a Burnley or a Brighton or someone like that. So I would sell Nat Phillips and Shaqiri, and I'd keep Oxlade-Chamberlain definitely.
Oh, really? You know, I'd probably sell Oxlade-Chamberlain. Of the
You're really rinsing this squad. The squad's thin as it is.
I just think for his career, you're saying they're trying to raise money in order to bring someone else in. We'll look at some of the other rumours later. But I just think for him, he probably needs the chance to move on and get guaranteed game time elsewhere. If I'm the Liverpool board, I'd be looking more to like the likes of Curtis Jones, seeing how I could integrate Harvey Elliott than giving more opportunities to Oxlade-Chamberlain. Bear in mind, he's on 120k per week. It's a big wage that he's on at the moment. 246 Premier League minutes last season. And I think if you're going to sell him, you've got to try and sell him now while he's got a bit of value, like the way they got almost 20 million for Danny Ings once upon a time. I think this is the moment to maybe try and maximise. I mean, I've read that he's about £16 million on Transfermarkt, but I don't think... I think they'd be lucky to sort of achieve roughly that number at the moment. I think they should move him on now and focus on bringing in one of these more exciting young players for the future. And interestingly...
But who buys Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain off the back of such a major injury? Like, even at £10 to £12 million, I think that's a huge risk for a club that's in a COVID-hit world. Like, yeah, I think that's a dodgy...
His value's at an all-time low, yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, I was also repeating it in the pre-season friendlies. I know you don't always have to read in too deeply, but apparently Naby Keita's been playing him off the park in a recent game against Mainz.
Yeah. Well, Naby Keita needs to step up now, doesn't he? Naby Keita cannot afford to have another season of being on the periphery of this squad. For the outlay they put into that player, was it £55-60 million? We had hyped him into existence at one stage at Football Daily. We were talking about him being potentially one of the next superstars of world football, and do any of us see him starting in that central midfield if they're all fit? Fabinho, Thiago, Jordan Henderson. I think he's going to have to be a rotation role unless he really does hit the ground running. And I know he smashed it in the preseason friendlies. I agree. I saw a few clips of him nutmegging people for fun, but yeah. I think the go-to men for Klopp might end up being Fabinho, Thiago, and Hendo.
Do you think Thiago's? Because he wasn't that impressive for Spain either in the Euros this summer, which is like a continuation of sort of the poor campaign he had at Liverpool. But I mean, it's unfair to necessarily have a poor campaign. He had a difficult first season at the club. Do you think that Thiago's a guaranteed starter over Naby Keita? Because as you said, like, the amount of money they've poured into Keita is almost equal to the kind of high wages that they've given to Thiago. I mean, I think Keita's got as much of an opportunity to get into the starting 11 as Thiago going into next year.
But then Thiago actually finished the season pretty well, I remember, in that final sort of 10 games where they won 8 and drew the other two. Whereas Naby Keita, his season sort of petered out as soon as he was taken off at half-time or even before half-time against Real Madrid as well. So in terms of his standing in the Liverpool pecking order, yeah, Thiago had a difficult year, but he's playing pretty well up until that injury he suffered against Everton in the Merseyside derby. And I think he's higher up in the pecking order by a distance than Naby Keita, who... for all his talent, just seems to sort of profit and play best in quite an unstructured way. And Klopp wants such a different system from his midfielders. It's all about cover. It's all about, you know, energy, press, etc. And you can't really have space for a maverick in that Klopp midfield, which is apparently what has slightly put him off Naby Keita or using him regularly so far.
And I think Thiago will really come into his own next season when Fabinho is allowed to play consistent minutes in that defensive midfield role. I actually think Thiago was bought more for the purpose of playing slightly more creative at Liverpool, a little bit further up the pitch and actually being able to affect things around the edge of the box. So I think the movement of Fabinho out of that centre-back role when Van Dijk and Gomez are back in fit will be huge for Liverpool. I do think Naby Keita is going to get a significant amount more minutes without Gini Wijnaldum there, don't get me wrong. But yeah, I think for me, it will still end up being Hendo, Thiago and Fabinho.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, Doogie, would you be handing Naby Keita a new contract on the basis that his also expires in 2023? 26 years old, so he's one of the younger of the kind of mainstream options that we've got, whose contracts are expiring that year. Is he a priority to extend, or do you think this is one which FSG are probably going to wait to see another year to see how he can go, or is next year like the cutoff point if it really isn't working out?
Yeah, I think FSG and Michael Edwards hold the power on Naby Keita right now. Like, they don't need to extend. You know, he had a pretty poor final 6 months of the season last year. You know, let's see how he's going in January when he's got, you know, 18 months left on his deal. Let's see how motivated he is to establish himself finally as a key player in this Liverpool side, because it's been fits and starts. Like, I can't imagine that he's started more than 20 Premier League games in a single season yet. I might be wrong on that, but obviously a lot of that is injury related too, and back injuries always take quite a while to come back from as well. But he really does need to step up this season and start delivering on that promise that he showed at RB Salzburg.
Yes, the injuries as well, wasn't it? I totally, like, the fits and starts have been largely down to, like, every time he's got a run going, he's picked up an injury. So, like, that just can't keep going. I think they will probably hold off giving him a contract this summer and see if he can stay injury-free for a full season, give him one next season. I can't see them giving him a contract on such sporadic form over the last two or so years, to be honest.
All right. Let's have a look at Fabinho then. I think this is probably one of the most kind of shoe-in for a new deal. That's kind of what the Athletic are saying as well. 27 years old. He was the only 25 million... £54 million transfer mark value. Of all these players on this list, he was the only one whose value had stabilised, other than Nat Phillips, who'd slightly improved as well. I'm excited to see him sort of back in central midfield next season. He just looks like the guy that's going to be in that holding role at Liverpool for at least another 4 or 5 years, I reckon. He's definitely the one that's going to be extended. Doogie Van Dijk, 30 years old. It might seem silly to question it, but let's just go for it anyway. Like, 30 years old, he'll be 32 down the line. What do you think? Are they going to give him a new deal anyway? Because if you're seeing what they're doing with some of the older guys anyway, do you think they'll be willing to keep him around? Is he more important, let's say, than Henderson in the defence than Henderson is the midfield?
Yeah, he probably is. I think he's probably Liverpool's most, you know, crucial player. In terms of, if you take him out of the side, we saw last year, it is a big drop-off. I think Salah's probably the closest to that in terms of one individual player's impact on this Liverpool side. I think Klopp and the Liverpool hierarchy would be quite keen to see how he recovers, obviously, from that, you know, devastating injury that knocked him out October till now. He's just coming back now. A lot of his game relies on pace as well. Like, he is incredibly quick. He's obviously so physical. He's just, like, physically better than any striker that he pretty much comes up against. So, you know, if he loses a bit of his pace, maybe that will come into their thinking as well. Players tend to take as long to come back from a knee injury to hit their top level as they did when they were out. Apparently, I remember reading that when Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was out as well. So it might take him 6 months to get back to his best, but I kind of back him. He's such a monstrous player and a great leader, etc. I think he'll be back instantly to his top level pretty quickly. As for Fabinho, I thought he was awesome as a centre-back last year as well. Massive credit to him. So, like, aggressive. He times his tackles so well. Like, he is, for me, along with Salah and Van Dijk, probably the players, and Alisson, who are, like, in the discussion for best, you know, they'd make a team of the year of like, players on paper in the Premier League. So Fabinho, definitely tie him down to a new deal. See how Van Dijk goes, but I expect he'll stay at least until he's 33, 34. There's almost no point selling him because they'll never get a fee back for him. And I back him to carry on playing pretty well to a top level into his mid-30s.
All right, well, that's pretty conclusive stuff. if we have a look at... like, the main players, really, which I think this kind of debate centres around, and we've discussed it before, but it's almost more pressing now, that is the forward three, because...
This is more spicy, yeah.
If you've been tuning in for the last half an hour, this is what it's all coming to. This is the big debate, because from what I've been reading, Liverpool can't... It's not that they can't afford to extend all three of these guys' contracts. It just doesn't make sense to do it. They're already all on fairly decent wages, except for Sadio Mane, who's the lowest paid of the three. But they're all 29, all got deals expiring in 2 years. Joe, because Mo Salah's future's never been set in stone at Liverpool. There always seems to be some kind of undercurrent of worry going on when it comes to that player there. He could probably command the biggest fee out of all three of these players. What are you doing when it comes to contract? Our hearts being broken, our FSG being brutal when it comes to sort of Liverpool's holy trinity up front.
Yeah, it's just so difficult, this one, isn't it? And I'm a little bit surprised they've allowed to get it down to this situation where you've got three 29-year-olds all out of contract in 2023. And I was listening to the Athletic podcast the other day where James Pearce, who's an extremely reliable Liverpool reporter, kind of said it is unthinkable, really, to give all three of these players major deals at this stage. And I have to say, I agree with him. I think Mo Salah is a player you've got to lock down. I think he probably will age really well on that right-hand side. I think Bobby Firmino is in a little bit of trouble, especially with Diogo Jota's potential to hit the ground running this season and be injury-free for Liverpool. I think he's going to play a vital role. And I know we saw Liverpool at times play a front four that included Firmino and Jota and Mane and Salah. I do think Firmino might slowly get phased out here. So Mo Salah I definitely locked down. Firmino, the difficulty it comes is if you don't sell him this summer, his value really plummets next summer because he's then 6 months away from signing a pre-contract. But can you afford to sell him Firmino this summer because the market is so sketchy in that forward area without bringing in a player? Like, if they'd have bought Daniel Malen in, let's say, and beaten Dortmund to the punch there, I would have been fine with selling Bobby Firmino. But I think if you sell Bobby Firmino and don't have a player in the mould of Jota ready to come in as the fourth attacker, I think it's a huge risk. So Bobby Firmino is the player I wouldn't give a contract to. I would to Mo Salah. Sadio Mane, again, I would probably give the new contract to. So two new contracts to Mo Salah and Mane for me. And then Bobby Firmino, I would have tried to sell this summer and get an able replacement through the door that can battle it out with Diogo Jota. And I thought Daniel Malen was probably going to be that guy. It doesn't, you know, it's obviously gone to Dortmund, so that's not happening. But I don't know about you two, but I would let Firmino go.
Diggy?
Yeah, I'm the same as Joe in terms of like my order in that pecking order. It's clearly, you know, Salah, Mane, Firmino. And I probably would have sold Firmino a couple of years ago, to be totally honest. Although he is quite crucial to that style of play and he's been a great servant for Liverpool, like his numbers in terms of his creativity, his goal scoring, his pressing, they've been dropping year on year. But now they've missed the boat in selling Firmino because I just don't think you're going to get a sort of appropriate fee for him. So in the last 18 months, I would have actually tried to sell Mane as well. And try and get a monster bid for him. And I think that could have been done if it wasn't for COVID. Like, COVID has really affected Liverpool's ability to sell and regenerate this front line. And now they're left in quite a sticky situation. Like, these guys are all going to be 30 this time next year. And, you know, you can't just rely on Harvey Elliott coming through, Diogo Jota coming through to instantly hit the ground running. I would have tried to phase Diogo Jota in almost full time this year, tried to get rid of Mane. You know, if they got their, you know, act together, I think Mbappe is always going to be incredibly difficult for Liverpool just because of the finances involved.
Never happening, man.
But what, like, could they have made more of a play for Jadon Sancho in the last year and a half? Obviously, he plays off the right, but he can play really effectively off the left too. Could they have, you know, got involved with that sort of deal as well? I just think Liverpool have missed a massive opportunity in the last 3 years and they've kind of sleptwalked into this situation where, you know, all these three players are at similar ages. Obviously, Salah is still performing at his absolute best. Mane had a down year last year. I back him to come good again this year. But Firmino's nowhere near the player he was 3 years ago and they probably should have sold him at his peak.
Well, I just think as well that Liverpool, they haven't capitalised as well as some other teams. Look at Manchester United going for Rafael Varane off of the back of the financial struggles that a lot of European sides, namely Barcelona, namely Real Madrid, Juventus, are currently going through. I think there is definite assets at these clubs that would improve or battle it out for positions there. I know, let's say Vinicius Jr. Could you tempt Real Madrid into a sale of a Vinicius Jr. if you're Liverpool to come in and have an immediate impact on that side? I obviously, it would be a tough job. But given that they've let Rafael Varane go, I understand the contract situation there was different. I don't think they'd be totally averse. They are saving up big time for Mbappe. Mbappe's going to go to Real Madrid. It's the worst kept secret in world football. And at the moment, they can't afford him. Even at Barcelona, like, obviously, you couldn't have got some of the superstars out of there. But is there anybody you could have maybe a little nibble at? I don't know. I just think
they could have had a go at Ousmane Dembele, probably.
I think Liverpool just sleeping a little bit on some of these clubs that are potentially going to let players go. Even like the Daniel Malen deal, it felt like, were Liverpool ever really pushing or was it just like a bit of interest? I'm not sure.
Well, I certainly hope that Vinicius Jr. doesn't come into the Premier League anytime soon. But I
Why?
The vendetta continues.
He'd be a really exciting player, wouldn't
Henry hates Vinicius Jr.
He's genuinely, I think a lot more of the viewers are buying around to my opinion of him. He's not world class. He's genuinely not world class.
But would you have said Diogo Jota arrived, he's probably not world class, but he's super effective.
Jota was more like consistent in his numbers than Vinicius has been, considering the length of time that Vinicius has been playing at the top level. I think he's
still
just
younger
not,
though.
But there is still so much more. Even if it's not Vinicius, you could have gone like they could have had a look at. Let's say Andre Silva went to bloody Leipzig for £19 million. Like, there's so much value to be had in the market across Europe. In the midfield position, could they not be really pushing for Eduardo Camavinga in there? I think he'd be a fantastic player as a replacement for Gini Wijnaldum in that slightly more progressive role. Like, there is serious money to used in this market.
Just to bring it back to Firmino a little bit, a lot of the players that we've mentioned here as replacements are more like wide forwards. Even Mbappe, to an extent, can play for France. We see him sort of further out wide than down the middle. Is that not where Bobby Firmino is so important? Because you have highlighted the fact that unless Liverpool are paying stupid money, there really isn't a centre forward out there who you could see sort of fitting in the way that Bobby Firmino fits into that system there. I mean, I've seen like Sasha Kalajic, that kind of sort of big up front man-esque, Wout Weghorst, but I don't think that this is the kind of player that Liverpool are going to go to at this moment in time. Does that not give sort of like agency to Bobby Firmino as an important player within this system? Because if they lose him, obviously Liverpool can play without him and put Diogo Jota more central, but is Firmino, has he not got that kind of ace up his sleeve when it comes to maintaining his status at Liverpool, in the sense that it's harder to replace him than perhaps it is the other two?
Yeah, I suppose he does have a slightly unique skill set in that Liverpool front line, and they also know that he is so effective at bringing out the best of particularly Salah but also Mane over the last few years. So yeah, he does have a slight USP in that sense. And also, if you want to replace Firmino with a like for like we've seen over the last few years, you know, very few teams use a sort of 10 or a deep lying centre forward. You're probably looking at someone like Thomas Müller, you know, João Felix was going to be pretty hard to get, maybe someone like Paulo Dybala. There aren't many players that are quite affordable for Liverpool to go like for like in terms of a Firmino replacement, so that might save him. I just think what I've noticed in the Liverpool business is A, that the fans are getting quite angry with FSG, which I think is a result of, you know, the fallout of the European Super League, Project Big Picture, the whole furlough incident as well. Some of that goodwill towards them after building that phenomenal team, and it still is a phenomenal team, is slightly being watered down. But also this summer, I think they're just getting slightly frustrated, not necessarily just with the lack of sort of action going on, but also the names they're being linked with as well. Like, I don't think Jared Bowen or John McGinn are quite Liverpool level yet. Like, I am quite confused by them. Kylian Mbappe looks almost impossible from a financial point of view. And then there was talk about that Sal Niguez deal, but that's all gone a bit quiet. Like, I'm not overwhelmed by any of their potential business.
Yeah, I was reading that they're only going after sort of 24-year-olds or players younger than that, ambitious, hungry players, which does come with a risk, doesn't it? Like, Thiago was a break from the mould where they went for a more established player, but that was more to do with his contract situation. I completely agree with you. Like, Jared Bowen, I think he's a great player, but at this point in his career, I still think he needs more time at West Ham to really show what he can do. I mean, Husamawa, I saw him more linked today on This Is Anfield. I think that makes more sense, maybe, out of the three. I think there's more a bit of an established player. But, I mean, Joe, is there any names that you've seen as potential incomings that could replace the players or the value that we've just discussed potentially leaving?
Well, obviously, if they let go of Firmino, then they do need to... They do need to find that fourth forward. I don't think it necessarily has to be in the exact mould of Bobby Firmino. I think Jürgen Klopp's more than capable of changing up the tactics. We've seen Mo Salah and Sadio Mane use the sort of pinched wingers coming inside quite regularly. And I think if Thiago is allowed to be a little bit more progressive in the midfield, he might be able to pick up some of that Bobby Firmino creativity that's missing. So I think Klopp can adapt, but there needs to be a fourth forward come in, especially if Origi and Shaqiri leave too. I still think they need another midfielder to replace Gini Wijnaldum. This is a player who played nearly every minute of every game for Jurgen Klopp, especially when it came down to big crunch moments. So I am surprised that they're just going to trust, you know, obviously they must back Curtis Jones massively, and rightly so, it seems like a fantastic talent. But I'm surprised that hasn't been more interest in signing another sort of central midfielder who's extremely versatile and willing to sacrifice for the team. Maybe a right back? Maybe a right...
Yeah, I think they're quite weak.
Maybe a right back. Obviously, they brought in Kostas Tsimikas as that sort of left-back cover, didn't they? He had injury problems last season himself. But, you know, they're asking an awful lot from Trent. And he's extremely creative, but it's also a huge volume for such a young player of minutes to play. So I wouldn't be totally averse to seeing, you know, a Max Aarons come through the door. Let's say if you can tempt him away from Norwich, I think that they're asking for sort of £25-30 million in the region of that fee. So there's value to be had across Europe, but it feels like at the moment Liverpool are letting the opportunity pass them by because FSG aren't willing to invest before players are sold, which I think is a real shame for Liverpool fans.
It's difficult with right backs, isn't it? Because obviously Trent being so young, who is going to be able to back themselves to go in and just play backup? Like we've seen Nico Williams. I just don't think he looks quite ready to play for Liverpool, to be totally honest. But he's not getting the opportunities to develop either. So they're in a bit of a, you know, catch 22. Like, how do they bring in someone that wants to play second fiddle all the time, who's at the right stage of their development as well? Like, you might have to sign a slightly older player just as a backup there. But I agree with you. I think fullback depth isn't particularly strong. I mean, we haven't still seen a lot of Kostas Tsimikas because of his injury issues and because Andy Robertson's fitness is just absolutely phenomenal. But if he ever has an issue, you know, that left side, you know, with Mane not at one of his best form last year as well, could really suffer.
All right. I completely agree with you about the right back situation there. But if we try and just top this off, if we look at the kind of situation here, if we try and enter FSG's kind of mindset here, we've gone through the kind of players we expect to leave. Shaqiri, Joe, you reckon Nat Phillips could be sold. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain could be sold. Naby Keita maybe stick around for a bit. Fabinho definitely staying along with Van Dijk. And then we've got sort of Milner and Origi. It sort of is what it is. If you were like a big shock on the cards, if we bear in mind that Jordan Henderson story kind of came out of nowhere, Joe, if you were... If FSG were going to like almost rile up the fans and get rid of someone in a big statement, who could that player be? Who could be like the shock departure from this Liverpool scene based on the fact they can't simply afford to give all these players new contracts?
Well, it'll be one of those front three that I think would be the most shocking. I think Salah's almost nailed on to sign a new deal. If they can come to an agreement over wages, I think that'll definitely happen. So I think more shocking than Firmino might end up being Sadio Mane. Probably worth significantly more at this point than Bobby Firmino. And I think if he was to be sold, Liverpool fans would potentially understand it if it allowed them to sign the right replacement. You know, if Sadio Mane left, and obviously he's not going to leave Juventus, but Chiesa came in, I think Liverpool fans would be understanding of that transition. But it would still be a bit of a shock to the system not to see Sadio Mane running out in red every week at Anfield. So Sadio Mane, probably the biggest shock, but he would take some serious replacing, man. Like, that is a huge, huge player to sign off the back of Mane. And if it is to be somebody like Chiesa, obviously I've seen those rumours, they feel like utter... But that is still quite an exciting name to be linked with if you're a Liverpool fan.
Diggy, what do you think? You the same? Sadio Mane, that's probably the player I was going to go for. Or maybe even Mo Salah. I don't think it's beyond the realms of sort of possibility for Mo Salah to potentially leave at some point in the next sort of 12 months. But, I mean, what do you think?
I think they'd be mad to sell
Can't
Salah.
Sell
I just,
Salah,
yeah, I'd lock him to Melwood. I wouldn't let him leave at all under any circumstances. Yeah, I think of the shock ones, it's definitely going to be Mane. I think it'll be interesting this year. Like, everyone knows, obviously, United have strengthened really well. City are planning to strengthen. We'll see what happens with them in the next few weeks. Chelsea have been fairly quiet so far. But the top four does look like it's going back to those old days.
Although Leicester have strengthened as well as a lot of the top four teams, I think.
Yeah, I still back Liverpool at full strength to finish above Leicester if they have all their big players fit. But we'll see. I think Liverpool are going to be fighting for third potentially, unless there's some massive slip up by Chelsea or Man City.
You know what? I just feel Liverpool back to full strength is like a new set of signings in itself, isn't it? I think when they get back into that rhythm and routine which they had, I still think they're going to be pretty formidable next season. Could definitely push the title. It's building up to be one of the most exciting title races in years in terms of.
And then City will sign Kane and Grealish and it will go mate, so I wouldn't worry about it. If those two come, then it's the least exciting title race because they're going to win it on about 109 points.
All right, well, I mean, cheers for throwing in that element of pessimism right at the end, Joe. Anyway, that's how we reckon Liverpool could sort of approach their contract situation at the moment. Thank you very much, Joe and Doogie, for joining me on this one. Joe, what have you seen recently? What are you working on which you think our audience should head to?
We'll come over and watch Transfer Winners and Losers from Monday. It's sort of mine and Zach's live reaction to the news that Rafael Varane will be joining Manchester United. And I was very happy with the thumbnail I made for it as well. So, you know, just go and show that some love.
Love that. Doogie, what about you? You been watching any of the Olympic football, or is there any other videos which people should
I don't see? I don't get involved with Olympic football except for brief highlights packages. Football should not be in the Olympics, but that's a discussion for another time. Yeah, go check out Joe's thumbnail. It was a very nice thumbnail, very eye-catching. I think you should also go and watch Scout Report, which dropped on Monday on Eurofootball Daily, where we talked about the defensive midfielder that potentially could complete Man United and get them even closer to Man City next year, featuring Camavinga and Didi. And I can't remember who the third player was, but go watch it and find out for me.
Perfect. Well, the only thing I'll say about the Olympics, I love some of the older age players that all the teams have bought. I think Germany have got like Maximilian Arnold, Max Kruse, and then France have got Teji Savanier, and then Talvin and Gignac, which is just such a random trio of sort of French players.
Yeah, Germany are getting torn apart, though.
Yeah, they are. They're not doing well. But even like France only left it late to beat South Africa. But anyway, check out that.
I think
most
of France's team play in Mexico, mate. So I'm not massively surprised.
It's a big old holiday for them. No. Well, anyway, go check it out. And thank you so much, you two. A quick reminder to our sponsor for today's episode, Fan Team. Get involved in that £1 million game. £20 to sign up. Link in the description below. The terms and conditions apply. You have to be 18 plus to play, but some serious money on the cards if you are better at fantasy football than any of us at Football Daily, that's for sure.
Not too hard.
But yeah, anyway, wherever you are, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the Football Daily Extra Time podcast, the channel, and if you're listening on Spotify, whatever, we hope you enjoy. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.